Thank you, Lois, so much for inviting me to participate in this workshop and to participate further and deeper in my own recovery. I'd like to, qualifying as well, have 1 year, 4 months, 2 weeks, and 2 days of absence.
It was Sarah and Adrian. Sarah's not even here.
I hear someone talking about a play date. Can you please mute your phone? And I have I am maintaining a weight of 48 pounds, and I have I am qualified to sponsor as a food inventory and step sponsor right now. And I've been in program actually since 1996, but I've been in and out, so I don't have long-term abstinence in terms of that date. And slips play a large part in my story. When I first came into program, I really got it, and I seized on to the principles, and I lost all my weight in a very quick amount of time, relatively speaking, and I really felt like I was cured. And at that point, I thought, there's no way I'm going to gain my weight back. And I've got it. I've got this good way of eating now. Thank you very much. And I thought I could do it on my own. And, you know, that was a major slip. It started out very subtly, just with the little thought that I was cured. And before long, I was saying, well, I can have a little bit of this, and I can have a little bit of that, and it won't be that big of a deal. But within a period of about a year, I gained back my weight plus extra weight. And tried a bunch of different things. Then none of them work, and I knew I had to come back to the program. And my own disease really wanted to keep me out of the room. But I did end up coming back. And it was a lot harder. I hadn't had a slip in program time around. My second time coming back in and working was much more difficult. I gained a lot of compassion and understanding for those of us who have a hard time putting back-to-back abstinence together. As soon as I get the substance of sugar and white flour, my body, that physical allergy, it sets up that craving. The addiction for me is very strong. So it's more about the substance, is like Lois said, about a punitive thing or being bad or being, you know, having to be punished. I really feel now, looking back, that those slips were an integral part of my full understanding of this disease. And luckily, I had a sponsor.
Excuse me, this is Carol Salsavita. Would you like for me to mass mute, get rid of all that noise? Have to hit star 6 to get back on.
Can you do a mass mute?
Yes.
Hi. Okay. So this is still thought of me. So I really feel that the slips, now that I look back on them, at the time it felt horrible and like I was being punished having to do slip questions. But looking back on it, it was part of my road to recovery. And I needed to have those in order to have the compassion I have for my sponsees now that have slips. Because my first time in program, I didn't understand why people slipped at all. I just thought that, you know, it's real plain and simple. It's in black and white. Just do it as it's written. What's the big deal? Well, you know, when we get a little bit of a substance in our body, the disease takes over again, and the addiction really makes it hard to separate that out. I don't like the words. I had a personal sort of problem with the slip questions. I got hung up on that because it sounded more punitive and more like a punishment. What I've come to do is let go of the word slips or slip questions and really just read what I can get from answering those questions or what I can give to my sponsees to look at through those questions, because there are some very valuable questions within that body of work. So it really isn't about, quote-unquote, being bad or having to be punished. It's about our road to recovery and being willing to follow directions. And that for me, the biggest part of my recovery is the willingness to just follow directions. My best thinking, you know, got me to being 50 pounds over what I am now. So clearly, I don't have a concept of what is good for me to put in my mouth. When I ask my sponsor and when I follow the food plan, I feel that God is in charge and I am able to keep my disease under arrest. I also want to share a little bit about the threefold nature of this disease. The last period of time, I went out of program again because I thought, well, maybe I can find the answers by going to therapy or going back to school, and I'm glad I did those things. I really am. I learned a lot in therapy. I got a wonderful degree in a field of subject matter that I am passionate about. However, during that time out of program, I gained all my weight back again, plus even more the second time. So I came back to these rooms just completely baffled. And what I have learned from, you know, going in and out is that even if I'm not doing it perfectly, I need to stick around. When they say keep coming back, don't leave no matter what, I heard those words, but I didn't really believe they applied to me until now. And because of the threefold nature of this disease, what I can tell you about, since I've been back in the rooms, I have been able to continue a recovery level. Both, I mean, on all three levels, spiritual, mental, and physical. Even during my first 6 months back in program, where I wasn't able to put together long-term abstinence, I was able to continue my spiritual, mental, and my physical recovery. So whereas when I went out of the rooms thinking I could do it on my own, I would gain all the weight back, I would get back into the insanity, I would be back into the obsession, I would be cut off from my higher power. When I stayed in program and allowed myself to go through the process of being totally open and with my sponsor about my slips and totally willing to do the work that she put in front of me to do in terms of answering questions and writing down my food and the way in which I wrote down my food, I was able to continue my recovery on all three levels even while I was slipping. What happened to really change this time around and enable me to put long-term, this is the longest term of abstinence I've had since I've been in program since 1996, was I really made a decision to just not leave. I really just stopped questioning whether it's the chicken or the egg, whether I really, really am a compulsive eater or not. I just, all of those questions I was able to just put aside and just make a decision that for today I am going to be in this program of recovery. I cannot manage my life, and I certainly cannot manage my food on my own. I can do it with you. I can do it with the steps and the tools of this program, but I cannot do it on my own. And so I got a new sponsor. I started putting long-term abstinence together. I started following directions no matter what. I started really, really embracing the spiritual aspects of our program. I had a real hard time with that before. It says God as you understand God. And, you know, I had never really taken the time to understand God before. I had a lot of prejudice and a lot of sort of stubbornness when it came to other people telling me about what I should and shouldn't believe. But I never took the time to really discover what I believe to be true. And so I defined God for myself. And I was able to come up with a concept and a definition of an energy that only has the best things for me in this life. So the best things are experiences that I can share and pass on to help other people, joy, serenity, love, and abstinence. Help me in my program of recovery on a daily basis. And so that is so integral to me being able to put together long-term abstinence. The last thing I want to talk about is sponsees who slip. I have a sponsee who had been a chronic slipper for a long time. And she can slip on abstinent foods. And she has a really hard time being honest. And so we talked about that. And I finally created a relationship with her where no matter what, she feels safe being honest about what is going in her mouth. And feeling safe with me enables her to be honest with herself. Because usually, and this is one of our questions in the first 30 days, the deception of others is nearly always rooted in the deception of ourselves. And I really believe this to be true. If I don't want to be honest with you, that's one thing. But probably somewhere in there, it's because I don't want to be honest with myself. And I really have this disconnect when it comes to what I'm putting in my mouth. So I think creating an environment where a sponsee feels, one, totally safe with you, that they can be 100% honest about having slipped, and then creating an environment where they can learn from that, they can grow from that, they can continue to recover from that and not feel like they're being punished or that they were a bad girl or that there's something wrong with them. I mean, we are all in this together. We are all compulsive eaters. And I've been able to now see that as a gift because I've been given tools and support with which to live my everyday life. And if I hadn't been a compulsive eater, I wouldn't have received all these gifts, all this love, and all this support. So thank you so much for letting me share. And I'll turn the meeting over to Liz. Lois, are you still there? Unmute your phone if you are.
Hi, Tadami, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Okay, I wasn't sure if I was mass muted or not. I'm not used to this. Lois, everybody. Hi, it's Lois, and I'm going to speak next, and please bear with me. I'm not very well versed on with a lot of experience with phone bridge, so sometimes I'm going to be a little clumsy here, but, you know, that's about humility, and that's exactly what I'm going to talk about next. And it's okay. I get to learn every day, and I get to not be perfect, and I love that. And I could face any one of you, and it would be just fine. And I feel really great because I can be whole and complete with you and be my true self. Well, the way I handle slips, and I'm going to just qualify. I have 19 years and 8 months and some spare change there, and of abstinence, of being in this program and abstinent. Now, I was in regular OA prior to that, and I slipped constantly. up and down, up and down. Something did happen to me. I did make a commitment and a resolve. It was a life-changing event when I walked in the doors on January 22nd, 1990, that I had to. I was on death's door with my disease. I don't think I have another recovery in me. So maybe I believe that a healthy fear keeps me straight here, keeps me abstinent and sober, because I will die. I was a bulimic and very severe, and my sponsor always said I came crawling into these rooms on death's door. And I do have permanent physical damage from this disease, heart condition and some tooth erosion, osteoporosis that needs special medication because of my bulimia, you name it. So this is the disease that keeps giving. It's like hepatitis. You don't get rid of it. It just keeps popping up, even if you think you're maintaining it and you have it at bay. Every so often, it will rear its ugly head and show itself and remind me that I'm not cured, I'm in recovery. So when I got into program, by the grace of God, I haven't had a slip, but I do know what it's like to slip because I had plenty before, 13 years of slipping and insanity. But when I was sitting in a meeting, probably my third year-ish in program, so it'd be about 1993, I was in a book study, and we were on the seventh step in the 12 and 12, and it's on page 76, is the last paragraph, and it's a beautiful paragraph, and it says, the seventh step is where we make the change in our attitude, which permits us, with humility as our guide, to move out from ourselves towards others and towards God. The whole emphasis of step seven is on humility. It is really saying to us that we now ought to be willing to try humility in seeking the removal of our other shortcomings, just as we did when we admitted we were powerless over food and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. If that degree of humility could enable us to find the grace by which such a deadly obsession could be banished, then there must be hope of the same result respecting our, any other problem we could possibly have. Well, all of a sudden the light went on in my head. I thought, character defects are the other problems. The food is the first thing we work on. And then if you get the gifts of really becoming the person that your higher power created you to be and develop those gifts. But we have to do some removal and some cleanup, getting rid of character defects. And what I've found with working with others for the past almost 20 years is when they have a slip, there's always a story behind it and a character defect. And I'm going to use an example. And then also what I found in As Bill Sees It on page 184, it says, meeting adversity. And it says, our spiritual and emotional growth, I'm going to say CEA, how, does not depend so deeply upon success as it does upon failures and setbacks. If you will bear this in mind, I think that your slip will have the effect of kicking you upstairs instead of down. We CEA Hows have had no better teacher than old man adversity, except in those cases where we refuse to let him teach us. And all of a sudden I got this brainstorm. What worked for me to remove my bulimia, which was life-threatening and deadly, with our first 30-day questions, I found them, I hate to use the word magic, it's almost superficial, I found them miraculous. So when a sponsee had a slip, and I'm just going to make a made-up example of someone going out after, let's say, bowling, and they going out with the gang to get a cup of coffee, and some things were put on the table as the appetizer, and everyone is partaking except for this person who's on program, and then they just couldn't stand it any longer, and they reached their hand in and took a bite. And so when I asked that sponsee, what happened? Tell me the story. Walk through it. And then, just before you reached for it, what went through your mind? Tell me that little, And I always had those little slogans before I ate. It used to be like McDonald's. I used to say, I deserve a break today. And I'd start eating. I deserve a break. So mine was about a lot of self-pity and rewarding myself and feeling very, very sorry for myself. I was a depressive self-pity person. You'll find me on page 45 in the 12 and 12, the depressive maudlin person who gets a misshapen pleasure out of it. And that's where I lived. And when I realized that, so anyway, this fictitious person said, I just wanted to fit in. And so I grabbed that, because they named it and claimed it, and I say, okay, I want you, if you're willing, of course, to write a history, our first question, write a history of your, instead of saying compulsive eating, make the quote, just trying to fit in. And so I want this person to write a history of just trying to fit in, beginning with the first time he can remember just trying to fit in related events. Discuss and reflect. Loud. Can you put it on mute, please? Thank you. I'll discuss and please put it on mute. I can hear some kind of scratching. Discuss how many times it's gotten worse trying to fit in and how many times you've maybe tried not to fit in. Any kind of a medical attention, including therapy, that you've sought for your problem with just trying to fit in, and your attempts at maintaining yourself, like holding your own ground, but giving in. And the person will go through and answer that, because we're looking, the food is the outward manifestation of a deeper problem, and it says that in the big book. You'll find that on page 64 and also on page 544 and probably many other places. Anyway, and then the second day after they read that to me, I assign them read step one in the 12 and 12 and discuss and reflect the effect trying to fit in has had upon you over the years, and do you truly see yourself as a person who tries to fit in? And they'll answer that. And I swear, when you read the first step, and there's wonderful passages, like it says, the rapacious creditor alcohol. We'll put in the rapacious creditor trying to fit in. And when that person does that in their reading, wherever they see alcohol, instead of substituting food, they substitute that little jingle that went through their mind. And they start to uproot a deeper underlying cause that made them eat all those years. And we go through the 30 days. So this 30-day time is a working time. Okay. It becomes a very working time for them. And they start up, and I use it as a character inventory.
Sure.
And we go, it's just phenomenal what people come up with. And online, you can download this little guide, this little outline that I have if you want to try it. Because sometimes when I work slip questions with people, it doesn't, they can't seem to get to it. So when I use the first 30-day questions, it's not as humiliating, I have found, and they really enjoy that they're doing a working process, a working inventory. And I wrote some little, not rules of the game, because there's no really rules here, but just some things I've learned, that right around the 2 weeks into doing these questions, you know, our balance sheets, when you do pages, question 16, I start to find that my higher power starts giving me an answer, and they start getting an answer, and it never fits what they thought it was going to be, and that's how I know it's my higher power. It's just been an amazing journey when they do these questions. So anyway, those are some of the little rules. Also, I find that what started off as one little jingle, you know, like trying to fit in, will start to morph and change as they're getting deeper into it and really delving in.
Yeah.
And I say, let it morph. Please let it morph and let it change names, because you're getting deeper and deeper and deeper into that character defect that trips you up and has probably always tripped you up all your life, kept you from being the person that you want to be and throws obstacles in your way. And so we have some, when Susie and I do this, we have some very poignant mornings when they share, and they feel okay about themselves instead of feeling diminished and shamed. They actually are working. They have a greater understanding of themselves. And so when they are time for them to stand up again and start qualifying, they've got a story to tell. And they've got a real share to share. And it's phenomenal. Anyway, that's pretty much what I've done with sponsees.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah,
you
please.
Said we could download this online. Could you tell us the site?
I believe... you know something? Oh, I wonder if Cheryl has it, because I emailed it to her, and she can send it to you. And I believe Irish sent out a reminder to everybody, and that was on there also, the attachment. So those two email addresses would have it.
All right. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Also, what I was saying, sometimes, and I'm just going to be honest with you, if a person is a chronic slipper for me, and we're just, it's just over and over for them, I say to them with the deepest honesty and sympathy and empathy, I said, something's not clicking here, and I want you to be well. I want you to have recovery. And whatever it is, I'm not saying the words or saying it in such a way that you can hear it. and I ask them, is there something, somebody else you would like? And I go, please, 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 by all means, go to that person and see if they will sponsor you. It does not offend me. If anything, I'll have joy for you. And I tell them, please, we'll always be in the fellowship together. Just because you and I are not working one-on-one anymore, oh well. We'll always be in the fellowship. We'll always make outreach calls to each other. I love you very much. I only want you to be well. Please, by all means, I send you with blessings to get that person that you can have hear it from. And I said, you know, you don't have to run to the other side of the street when you see me walk into the room. We grow up here, and we never have to be ashamed again. We can always hold our heads up high. And I have to learn not to put my ego into my sponsoring and to only want wellness and recovery for my sponsees. And does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes? Do I hear some talking in there a little bit? But anyway, that's pretty much what I have to say. And we're going to have questions and answers later after we get the whole panel heard from. And that's pretty much what I have to contribute. And if you have any questions on that, please give me a call, you know, an outreach call. And I can give you my number right now. It's 818-768-5693 on how to work that. And also, it's a great just character defect and shortcoming inventory to work for yourself if you have a particular one that's knocking you upside the head and you want to get rid of it with an intensive course. That's how I discovered it. I did it myself quite a few times, and every year, God knows, I have a good one to work on, a big juicy one to work on, and I use it. Yes? Is there someone trying to... Hello?
Hey.
Yeah.
You.
Is there someone?
Pay attention to me. It's okay. You.
I can't really... It's not coming through. I'm going to now introduce the next speaker. And the next speaker is Tammy. So, Tammy, if you would like to, please come on.
Hello. My name is Tammy.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello.
Yeah, hi, Tammy. It's Lois. Hi. We can hear you.
My name is Tammy. I'm a compulsive eater, and thank you, Lois, for inviting me to be a part of this workshop. And I have been...
Unmute everybody.
Hello?
Hello, is Tammy there?
I think we were disconnected, but we should have her voice.
Here I am. Hello? This is Tammy. Hello?
Great.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when they massive mute, I'm getting muted off and they won't let me back on.
I would go ahead now because there's some of us back online, Tammy.
Okay.
Okay. All right. When you mass mute twice, you end up blocking out people. You have to mass mute three times to unmute anybody, and then you can start over with a regular mass mute on the fourth one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mass mute three times. I guess I didn't do the fourth.
Yeah, it'll tell you what you're in.
This is Cheryl, compulsive eater.
Okay, well, all right, then I'll start over. I'm Tammy, a compulsive eater, and I've been abstinent for a year, 5 months, and 21 days. And I'm a food sponsor and an inventory sponsor, and I have given away 46 pounds. And, okay, so everyone can hear me, right? So before I came to see how years ago, I used to lose weight by fasting for 10 days. know, and having nothing but water during those 10 days. And in the beginning, I would lose about 18 pounds, and that way I would get whatever weight I had gained off, and I'd be back to my smaller size, and everything was happy, and I just felt like I was had discovered gold because I could lose weight this way quickly and still eat all the junk food I wanted to eat. But I would, after I would lose the weight, and even during the times that I was fasting, I would just be thinking about the flour and sugar, you know, during that time, and how I'm going to get back to eating that flour and sugar. I couldn't wait to get back to eating it. At first, when I would start eating the flour and sugar after the fast, they would taste horrible. The flour, it just had no taste, just would taste really nasty to me, but I was in the habit of eating that, and I loved to eat it till I just would develop a love relationship with it all over again, and I did that for many years, but I found that eventually, as the years went on, I would go on those 10-day fasts, and I would not be able to lose 18 pounds. At the most, maybe 5-7 pounds I would lose after 10 days. So then I would try to up my fast days, like to 12 or 14 days, and thinking I'll lose more. But I wouldn't lose that much more. And then while I was still on the fast, and I was thinking, you know, I just got to learn how to eat this flour and sugar moderately, just a little bit at a time. This time when I come off, I'm just going to eat a little bit, because each time I would come back off the fast, I would gain the weight back, all the weight I had lost back within 2 weeks and more, plus some, sometimes double it, and got to where I was even tripling coming back with the weight gain. And I just kept telling myself, I'm going to learn how to eat it just a little bit. I got to be normal. I got to be like everybody else. But I was getting more abnormal through the years till I eventually stopped fasting after years of doing it that way and not being able to have any control over my eating and not being able to stop the weight gain because I just kept gaining weight. Then I just went ahead and stopped the fast. So I stopped fasting, and then after a few more years, I developed high blood pressure. And when I developed high blood pressure, I was like, oh, no, I'm on the same road. I'm on that same road that most of my family members are on. The high blood pressure develops into diabetes, and the diabetes, as soon as some of my family members had congestive heart failure, and then congestive heart failure, then with the diabetes, it later will come, you know, amputations, limb amputations. And I just knew I was on that same path, and I didn't know how to get off it. And like I said, the weight just continued to come on. And then when I was introduced to C-How, because I had seen another person who was in C-How, and how I knew her for a year, and I saw that she had lost like 60 pounds, and she was saying, you know, I just love my food program. She said, I forget to eat. And I would just look at her like she had lost her mind. How can you forget to eat? And then another time she said, sometimes the food is just so much. It's so much food to eat, and I feel like I can't eat it all. And I just like, what kind of program is that? You know. So when I came into the rooms and when I sat and I listened to the people standing up and saying, 50 pounds here, 60 pounds lost there, just talking about their weight loss, I was just amazed. And after hearing the speaker and her story, and just listen to the speaker's story and hearing how she was getting on with life, I felt like I was stuck in life. I mean, all I do is go on this treadmill of gaining weight, losing weight, eating flour and sugar, trying to stop eating. I was just on this. That's all life was. I was like, and she's talking about living life in so many other different ways, and I wanted that. And so then I just came on board with the food plan. And when I got the food plan and just learning how to stop eating the flour and sugar, period, and it was like a light went off in my head. It's like, oh, here I am. I'm trying to learn how to eat it moderately. I never thought about not eating it at all. You know, not eating it at all. I said, wow, what a concept. So, like I said, I have been in the program a year and a half. And even with having a higher power, I mean, I've had a higher power all my life, and he's helped me in so many other areas in life, but I never thought of bringing him on board with my food plan. And so it was just another area. Well, I know that would work because my higher power has helped me in this, and my higher power has helped me in that. I know he would help me in this area, in my food area as well. And so I have days when
I feel like I would want to eat the flour and sugar, and I would just ask my higher power, Lord, would you just help me to be abstinent for this day? And he helps me through this day. Sometimes I have to ask, Lord, just this meal with breakfast or lunch or dinner, Lord, would you just help me at this moment to be abstinent with my breakfast? And he helps me with my breakfast. And maybe it's just a moment. I'm in a situation where I see something that I used to eat and I want it. And Lord, would you help me in this moment to stay abstinent? And he comes and he helps me to be abstinent at that moment. No matter how far I have to take my higher power back to help me, he comes there. He meets me there. And he sees me through. So I even though I have not slipped in Seattle, when I came to Seattle, and I've been in a year and, like I said, 5 months, I haven't slipped, but I know about slipping because of all those years I would go back to eating the flour and sugar after fast, one fast after another. So I knew about slipping. So when I came and I started sponsoring other people, I already had a heart for them. And when I had sponsors to slip, I just immediately had a heart of compassion for them. And I could see how my sponsors would call me up and tell me, I slipped, so I guess you don't want to sponsor me anymore. And I would think, and I would tell them, and I said, no, I still want to sponsor you. I said, let's work through this. You know, I'll help you through this. You know, and I would stick with them. And like I said, my compassion would go out to them because I was thinking, why are they punishing themselves? I said, the program doesn't really punish us. If it didn't believe in helping someone after a slip, they wouldn't develop tools to help to get us back on track. If they believed that once you slip out of the program, it wouldn't. But that's not the case with CL. There's tools for us to use, and I asked the help of my higher power to help me to how to guide this sponsee through this slip period. And usually, the first thing I do is I ask them, well, I want you tomorrow when you call me, I want you to write on how you felt before you slip. And then I ask them to tell me how did you feel after you slip. And also to write down the foods that they slipped on, and they can read that to me the next day. And then we go into the series of slip questions, however many we need to do to get them back on track to where they left off with the first 30 days. And when they do that, and I have them sometimes, they do complain about it and talk about, well, I don't see why I've got to do these slip questions. They just seem like a punishment, and they don't even make any sense to me. They have nothing to do with the program. And I said, and I just agree with them. I said, I know what you're saying. I agree with you. And then I said, but tomorrow, just give me the question, you know. And if they're obedient, well, not obedient, but if they want to work the program, then they would do that. And usually after we do the questions and we get back to the 30 days, when they complete the slip questions, I just thank them. I thank them. I said, thank you. Thank you for doing the slip question. I said, you have demonstrated another way of the HOW program. You have been honest to say that you have slipped. You have been open-minded, you know, and to listen to the way I want you to work through the slip, and you have been willing to do that. So thank you. Thank you for answering the slip questions. And then we move forward from there. So I don't see, like I said, the slip questions as a punishment. I just think that there's just another way to get us back on track to where we left off from, get us back on track so that we can learn to eat abstinently and to live a better life. Thank you for letting me share. Okay. Is there any questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
Is it possible to get the phone number of the people that are on the panel?
Yes, I'm sure that you can do that. I can tell you my number right now. My name is Tammy, and I'm in California, Canoga Park, California. And my phone number is area code 818-347 5528.
You, I had a light bulb moment when you said a love relationship with flour and sugar. I would never have dreamed of having an affair, but I was having an affair with chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, Lois, I can turn it back over to you.
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Great. Great. Is Karen on the line?
I'm on. This is Karen.
Oh, hi, Karen. Hey, Karen. Hi. I want to thank Todd and me and Tammy so far. Thank you so much. And what a riot. I love our program because, you know, we're supposed to be happy, joyous, and free and to laugh. And, you know, if something's funny, by all means, just get a good laugh out of it. And you guys are wonderful. Now you've got a wonderful opportunity to hear from Karen. And, Karen, I'm going to turn this over to you and tell us how you do this, your experience, strength, and hope. Okay?
Lois, thanks for inviting me to share. My name's Karen, and I am a compulsive eater. I can say that today. I could not say that when I first walked into the room. Just could not get those words out of my mouth. My number, for those of you, I'm in California, 818-708-0405. I came to CEA How about 4.5 years ago. I currently have 3 years, 1 month, and 13 days of back-to-back abstinence. Never thought that was anything like possible for me. I had done a lot of losing weight and gaining weight prior to getting in the room, and I really resisted coming to the program. But I did have one thing that was an asset, and that was that I had spent 9 years in Al-Anon, and I had worked the 12 steps in that program, and I had really good evidence that the 12 steps, when they're applied to a problem, really do work. And so I do know that the 12 steps work. They saved my marriage. I absolutely would not be in the marriage I'm in today had it not been for the two of us working the 12 steps. I did need to have a slip. When I got into program, I got into program with 25. I wanted to lose 25 pounds. I had lost and gained the same 25 pounds for 25 years, and sometimes up to 50 pounds. I was at one point up to 50 pounds overweight, and I had always had this magic number that I was striving for of 125. I was striving for that number always. And I could get there for about a second, and then I would rapidly gain the weight back. And I did this, but I didn't really understand the toll it was taking on my life and my relationship until I got into I kind of hit a bottom in order to get into program. I started blaming my husband for a recurring difficulty we were having, and I simply was struck honest with him and said, you know, the reason we're having this difficulty is because I feel fat and ugly and I can't control what I put in my mouth. And, you know, that was, I think that was God today. God just struck me honest. And anyway, but I got in the program and I resisted. It took me two meetings to get a sponsor, and I chose a sponsor who only took food and stuff in email. And I knew that was the sponsor for me because I just wasn't willing at that point and not really able. You know, I have compassion for those compulsive eaters who are not really able to do the whole program. And so we kind of dole it out a little bit, little by little, with people and meet them where they're at. Just as Tammy said, God meets us where we're at. You know, as sponsors, we got to meet people where they're at, too. And anyway, so I did that, and that was all I could do. And you know what? I lost weight. I lost those 25 pounds. I lost 20 pounds in 30 days. And for me, that made it seem like maybe I'm not a compulsive eater. Maybe I really, you know, I just have a little problem with food, but I'm not a compulsive eater. Maybe I don't have to do all these things. And so I decided that one day my and that I should make them for them. Of course, I never ran that by my sponsor. Today I would run that decision by my sponsor. Anyway, I did that, and the brownies talked to me. They said, Karen, we're right here. We love you. You'll feel better. Eat us. And I had enough clear. I did eat it. I did eat one, and then I threw the rest away. But I had enough clarity to understand that food does not talk to normal people. But I swear to God, I heard food talking to me. And, yeah, and that is the insanity of the disease. That is absolutely insanity by any other definition. And anyway, it took for me, what it took for me to take the full program on and to do it just as it's written and to just be totally willing, it took a major health scare for me. I had this thing in my brain, and I thought I was going to die. And even during that time, I stayed abstinent during that time, but what that got me was that it got me the clarity that I had to stop fooling around, that I only was going to get a certain amount of days on this planet, and that I was fooling around with my life, and that I needed to stop doing that. And I immediately then, well, actually I didn't immediately. I, like 6 months later, got a new sponsor and started to work the program exactly the way she told me to do it, even if I didn't agree with it. And today I do a lot of stuff I don't want to do. I really would rather not have to do this. But I do respect my disease today. And I want the life I get from being abstinent. I love it, and it's not about being thin. It's about being sane. It's about being clear. It's about, and today I weigh less than that 125 pounds. I weigh 5 pounds less than that 125 pounds that I struggled for years with. I never thought that was possible for a day, let alone 3 years. And in working with others, you know, working with chronic slippers can be a difficult road, and it doesn't get better overnight. Just like I have to learn how to be a better sponsor, you know, over time, people who slip chronically have to, you know, we have to get to know each other and find out, just as Lois said, what are the character defects behind the slip? Because for most of us, I know for me, it's not one. It's many. And they all are very intertwined and, you know, and convoluted. And I let go of one, and then this other one comes to the surface. And, you know, the sponsor guidebook, the workbook, is great for a person who has just had their initial slip, or even somebody who's had, like, a long-term abstinence and then slipped. There's stuff in there. But for those people who keep slipping and we keep sending them back to those first 30-day questions, we have to do it a little different way. And I've used Lois's approach where you get to the character defect and it works. It really uncovers a lot of stuff. So I highly recommend that. And, you know, my experience has been if a person slips after about the first week of abstinence, like say they get a week and then they slip, it's a character defect because the sugar is out of the system. You know, the physical allergy is over by that first week. You know, it's actually over about 3 days to clear our systems of this. And so it's not the craving at that point. It's something else. And the steps work so great for that something else. And so we have to get people working the steps. So, you know, a lot of us, so we'll, in the first 30 days, we do the 1, 2, 3. can't, you know, we can do that dance. It's like a waltz, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But if somebody just keeps slipping, we need to get right into the fourth step. And sometimes it's fear about getting to the fourth step that is keeping somebody slipping. Sometimes it is fear of sponsorship. That happened to me. I was afraid to be a sponsor in Howe. I was a sponsor in Al-Anon. I knew how to do it there. But really, I did have this understanding that I knew very little about losing weight and keeping it off. I knew very little within those first 30 days of being abstinent about how to recover from compulsive eating. And so I got that. I got that, you know, I didn't know much. But what little I did know would be helpful to somebody just coming in. But I resisted that out of fear. I just resisted doing the questions. I didn't slip on the food initially, but I resisted doing the questions. And that is for me, that's a slip. When I'm sticking my will in there, and it's not a food slip. It's not like I'm not abstinent, but it's on that path. And if I keep following that path, the food is going to follow. You know, I'm going to slip on the food. So, you know, this program, I find this program miraculous, but it's not magical. So we have to do our part. And so if we have sponsees who aren't willing to do their part, you know, like to do the work, we're probably best to, like, I have sent people off to go pray for willingness. Pray for 30 days for willingness. Don't even worry about the food. Pray for willingness. And have them come back and go, you know, I'm willing now. You know, I have one sponsee who we have gotten together like three different times, and at different times some character defects popped up, and she needed to go away for a while. And then she came back with a whole new commitment to the program, a whole new renewed commitment to the program. And so, you know, sometimes that's what sponsees need. They need, like, I know for me, I have to watch myself. I just have to keep my eyes focused on myself. And because sometimes my character defects get activated. And so if my character defects are activated, I'm not going to help anyone. So it's best if I have a relationship with a sponsee where my character defects are getting activated, then it's best I let that person go and find somebody who could be truly helpful to them, because I'm not helping them and I may be doing harm to me. So, but anyway, thankfully in Al-Anon, I did learn how to be compassionate and loving and not require perfection, but I do require honesty. I cannot sponsor people who aren't willing to be honest. You know, I just that has got to be one of the things. And I don't even care. Tell me, you know, you can slip over and over and over again. But, you know, the program, the shortcomings we need to fill in the program, even to kind of make a start, is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And God can help us with that, you know, or whatever our concept of a higher power is. Because we each have to form our own concept of a higher power that we would trust our lot and our will to. You know, and if it's not the you know, what we grew up with, change it, you know. And I'll do that with sponsees too. It's like, okay, let's get you a higher power. Let's figure out who would you trust. You know, so maybe it's just the CEA Howe program start. Okay, that's a start. You know, we all do have to come up with something even greater in the long run. But, you know, what characteristics would a higher power you could trust have? You know, like Connie said, you know, have to believe that that entity, whatever that is, whatever I want to call it, don't have to call it God. If that's objectionable, I can call it anything I want. You know, I have to believe that it has my best interest in mind. I have to believe that it is not meant to harm me. I have to believe that it is meant to keep me safe and to help me thrive, to help me be everything I can be. And that's the higher power I have today. And it works for me. That really works for me. Another thing I do with sponsees is to have them go back through, if they've slipped, I can usually kind of tell if somebody's headed for a slip because they'll stop doing something. So if they were calling every day right on time and they stop doing that, or their calls get a little bit later, or sometimes they have the writing, sometimes they don't, they're sleeping through the alarm. You know, those are slippery behaviors. And I look for those behaviors in myself, too. I look for, because a slip isn't just picking up the food. A slip, Lois says this all the time, a slip starts way before, and then you pick up the food. So, like, you know, I notice for myself, you know, what are the slippery behaviors? I got to be conscious about what those slippery behaviors are. So, you know, allowing myself to sleep in, not writing, not meditating, not attending enough meetings, not weighing and measuring every meal, you know, that kind of stuff. Telling little lies that later become big lies. One big thing for me, I have the character defect of people-pleasing, so agreeing to do things that I really don't want to do, that is, you know, I'm on the path. I'm on the path towards a slip if I do those kinds of things. And then the other thing I try to do is I try to get really practical with people. And so, you know, explaining what does it mean to me to be willing to go to any length and helping the sponsee kind of think about that. Like, what does willing to go to any length mean? You know, what are half measures? I am a true believer that if you use all the seven tools, you'll be abstinent. I believe that with all my heart. And just kind of practical things, in the first 30 days, prepare all your own meals. Don't eat out in restaurants at all. Weigh and measure absolutely everything. Get all the slip foods out of your house. To this day, I still do not have my slip foods in the house because one of my character defects, too, is I'm a little lazy, which really kind of helps me because I won't go out and buy, you know, I won't get in the car and go down to the store to buy the food. So that helps me to not have it in my house. Also, if a place is slippery for me, especially like in the first 30 days, do not go to bakeries. Do not go to certain don't go to fast food restaurants, certainly. Don't go to, you know, some grocery stores. Like, and if I need to, I'm willing to ask for help. If I cannot go into a place without, you know, worrying that I'm going to eat there, you know, I'll ask somebody to go with me. Or, you know, if I have to spend a little extra to get the foods I need delivered to me, I'm going to do that. And that's what willing to go to any length means for me.
I have it.
Just, you know, this program works, but we do have to work it. We do have to do the footwork. And today I'm willing to do whatever it takes to maintain my abstinence. And I'm willing to discuss that with anybody who wants to do that, too. And I don't ask my sponsees to do anything I'm not willing to do myself. Anyway, thank you for letting me share. Turn it back over to Lois.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. Great. Everybody, if we could do like a cyber applaud or whatever, thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. Tadami, Tammy, Karen, oh, my God. It was brilliant. Thank you, guys. I knew you were going to be the best. Anyway, I'm going to open this up now for questions, and it includes everybody. So sponsors, sponsees, people who are struggling with the program, please open it up, address the person you would like to, you know, talk to, and let's hear from you guys, okay?
Lois, I'd like to ask for the first speaker's phone number. I can't pronounce the name.
Okay, it's Tadami. Hey, Tadami, are you there? Tadami?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
Hello?
You. Okay.
Hi, my name is Tadami. It's spelled T-A-R-U-M-I. I'm in California in the Pacific time zone. And my phone number is 818-620-7911. I'll repeat it. 818-620-7911.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other comments,
Hello?
Concerns, compliments? Okay, hi. Is somebody there?
Yes.
Yeah, you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody pipe up to say your name and ask your question.
Hi, my name is Mousy.
Laid out for me.
Okay, I'm hearing about new refrigerator and plugging it in, so let's start.
Hi, this is Malky. Do you hear me?
Hi. Malky?
Yeah, I wanted to know the first person. I have her number. I just wanted to know her name, please.
Oh, Tadami's? First, Tadami's name?
How do you spell her name?
Okay, go for it, Tadami.
Yeah, it's Tadami, and it's spelled T-A-R-U-M-I. 818-620-7911. You bet.
Okay, thank you.
I guess you may have to spell it phonetically. So, anyway, and any comments? Like I say, comments, this is what I do when I'm in the steering committee and I'm the chairperson. Comments, complaints, compliments, anything, questions?
Hi, this is Tana from California. Can everyone who is on the panel please give their name and telephone number one more time?
Okay. Go for it. Tadami, you wanted to start?
Okay, I was the first speaker. My name is Tadami. It's spelled T-A-R-U-M-I, but it's a R, so it sounds like a D, Tadami. 818-620-7911.
818-620-7911.
Lois,
I'm Lois. California? It's L-O-I-S, and I am 818-768-5693.
Thank you.
Lois, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, this is Sandy in California. We have one of our members that would like to make a comment.
Wait, can we just finish? Tammy's going to give her number one more time and also Karen, and we'll finish up that, and then, okay, and then we'll get your question. Thank you, or comment.
I'm Tammy.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can.
I'm Sonoka Park, California. My name is spelled T-A-M-M-Y. Phone number, area code 818-347-5528.
Karen? My name's Karen, K-A-R-E-N. I'm in California as well, 818-708-0405.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, question. You had a comment?
Lois?
Yes, hi.
Lois, hi. This is Lily, and I'm at Sandy's house, and I'm a compulsive eater, binger, chronic slipper.
Yeah, hi, Lily.
Well, I had a comment about... you know, going to any length, your first 30 days, and practicing all seven tools. One of the pitfalls I get into is my first 30 days, I become, like, overwhelmed with feelings and blaming others for my slips.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, like, what the Big Book says, like, you know how the Big Book says, like, oh, we tried drinking only on the weekends, only in the morning. So I'll start playing these games where well, I need my own refrigerator. Well, I need to move. Well, I need a different job. And it's just like this constant, it's like pulling a geographic, but I'm doing it in little ways and still not being accountable. Like, I'm still not using seven tools. And it's almost like, and it's scary to say this, but I'm almost so I'm so full of manipulation that I can, that I feel like I don't even want to get a sponsor anymore because they'll buy into it. So, oh, yeah, yeah, get the refrigerator. When they're not asking me, did you do your tools? And it's scary. It's almost like, I don't know. It's like I need an AA sponsor for the food. I can easily have my sponsors tell me, oh, yeah, yeah, just move out or quit your job, or but not doing the tools. And I guess that's for me my one of my biggest pitfalls, the 7 days, being overwhelmed with fear and feelings and blaming others. And I just, I don't know, I've got to somehow pray to get over that. If anyone has wisdom about that, or, you know.
Let's see what the panel says. I'm going to pipe up here, Lois. And what I was thinking, if I was working with you, I'm all full up at this moment. It's like I'd love to work with everyone, but this, like they say, this needs to be a vocation, not a full-time profession. I would also have you work the first, 7 days, because that's our requirement. But also, I'd be having you do a resentment inventory. We would start getting, we'd pick one. I call it the yellow brick road. Just pick one, because all roads lead home, Dorothy. Just start with one. That's all you need. And I would actually, by you saying overwhelmed, I would hear that as, aha, that's your disease talking, because it likes to mess you up and trip you, hobble you. So I would just say, okay, let's just pick one. And it's like pulling the string, the end of a string on a big ball of, tangled yarn. Just start somewhere. And we would start somewhere, and I would work a defect inventory with you and be doing the 7 days. But we would take first things first and keep it simple, because I could hear your disease loves to mess things up. And we go, okay, we're going to keep it real simple. And it's going to, practically kill you, but we're going to have to keep it simple, and would start at one place. And that's what, maybe you just need to find a sponsor and really level with them and say, I need, and you said that, I need an AA. And we have plenty of people who are double winners in program who have strong AA backgrounds or Al-Anon backgrounds and have, the HOW program down. And pull your covers, tell them the truth, just like Karen said, honesty, open-minded and willing, and see if they'll take you through, what you need. 7 days, using the 30 days, because you got to do that, that's our requirements, plus working on this other defect that keeps rearing its head and hobbling you. Anyone else, Karen or Tammy or Tadami?
This is Karen. I do tell my sponsees that I cannot be more committed to their abstinence than they are.
Thank you.
And it really is, because I will give somebody an assignment. I'll go pray, this for 30 days. But honestly, I'm not going to keep checking up on them to see, did you pray for that? Did you pray? How's it going? I might ask them the second time this next day. But it is up to each of us to be committed to our abstinence. We have to. We absolutely have to. And while a sponsor can really help us identify the defects of character that underlie, our behaviors, but a sponsor can't remove our defects of character. Only our higher power can do that. And that takes our willingness to let them go. And I still have defects of character that honestly, I'm not willing to let go right now. But I'm honest about that and go, yeah, this is the one I want to hang on to for a little bit longer. But I can't expect my sponsor to get rid of it for me, because it's just not possible. It's just holding her to a standard that, she's human.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tammy, you're talking to me?
Yeah. I have a question. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's this? This is Chrissy, compulsive eater. I have a question. For sponsors, and I am a sponsor, but I just want to know what you all think. if a sponsee doesn't call on time chronically or just leaves their food on the line, is that considered a slip? And also, how do I deal with, just out of curiosity because I've been dealing with this, deal with the fact that when I'm honest, open, and willing, because I know that this program, working it, is what's going to save my life, and I do want to help others, but when I'm honest and I know, because I've had a slip myself, I was absent for 5 years and went back out and relapsed for a year, okay? So I can see the signs because I can see myself, right, because I can relate to other compulsive eaters. How do I deal with the fact that I can see this and I'm trying to help people and I say, you know, we can't work this program alone? And before I work with people, I say that I firmly go by the see how concept and that I'm not responsible for your recovery. You are. I'm just a link in this chain to help you to, you know, have someone to work with. I'm just one link in this big chain of us all compulsive eaters. But how do I deal with, it just gets very frustrating and I get discouraged because I feel like because I'm being honest, they get mad and they want to quit and switch sponsors, and I guess I just need to not take it personal. But I just wanted to hear some feedback on what you do there.
Okay. Thank
you all for your time and all your great, great wisdom.
Thanks, Chrissy. Just Lois, and I'm just going to pipe in, that's not a slip. It's because, as by definition, you know, in our sponsor's guide, I know a lot of people, they start making up that if you don't make 3 phone calls, it's a slip. It doesn't say that. You know, being on World Service and all, I need to stay with, it's almost like being an attorney, just with what it's defined as a slip. So I go by the sponsor's guide, you know, as slip as defined by the sponsor's guide is. Now, however, it's between you and your sponsee. If it bothers you and that's your requirement that they call on time. Also, you know, we don't get paid enough to be sponsors. Obviously, as you know, we don't get paid. And you're giving your time to this person, and they don't call on time. I know I'm sponsoring a whole lot of people, and they don't call on time. They give up their time. They're allotted that 15 minutes that's theirs to use with, you know, 15 minutes or 1 minute. But I don't feel guilt at all. I don't pick up the phone. Usually I'm with someone else, and I do have to go to work. I do have a life after I finish with my sponsees. It's called boundaries, healthy boundaries, and it's taking out any anger that you have towards it. It's just learning a boundary, saying it's 15 minutes. And also, as a sponsor, if it's not acceptable to you for them just to leave it on your voicemail, that's not acceptable. And you, it's boundaries and saying, I need to have, you know, if I am going to sponsor you or as I sponsor you, I need to have voice contact, food written down and committed. And someone said, I heard it, I think it was at the convention, she said, we commit our food, we don't report. In other words, committing means before it's eaten. Reporting is afterwards. And I'm like, whoa, that is so cool. And you as a sponsor sets the guidelines for how that shall be, and it's healthy boundaries to say this isn't working for me. This is the way I sponsor. I call my sponsor. I expect that of myself, and this is what I need. And also, you could sort of figure someone's trying to get out of something a little bit if they're trying to avoid you and not make contact. Anyway, anyone else have something else to say on that?
I do. This is Potomy Compulsive, and I am a strong advocate of committing the food and not reporting it. And so I have a sponsee who it just was not working out having her call me early in the day to commit her food. So she calls me in the night, and she does not report. She commits her food for the next day, the evening before. So it might be, you know, we have to be flexible. We have to see what works for our own schedules and to match that with what works for that sponsee's schedule. And what we figured out because of her work schedule and my schedule, a morning call just was impossible. And so an evening call worked out. Now, we had it set for one time, and for several months, I found that, you know, I have meetings in the evenings, not for chow, but for other things, work-related or volunteer-related, means I wasn't always able to answer my phone. So we adjusted it. So it's just like anything else in life where we adapt to our situation. If you know, 8 o'clock in the morning doesn't work. Let's try 7 p.m. at night. And after a while, if 7 p.m. at night isn't working, how about let's try 6 p.m. at night? I mean, it's just, it's working with it and trying to be flexible and open-minded, you know, employing, again, that open-mindedness in the way we sponsor our sponsees. And really, honesty, I think there's, you know, I say this often, there's a reason why it's the HOW program, not the WHO program or the OW program. So the honesty is a really, really integral part of every aspect of working every step in the tool. And to be honest about, you know, what our feelings are, if a person is chronically slipping, is it just because it's a practicality issue? That time just isn't a good time for either of you? Or is there something going on, and it takes honesty and open-mindedness and willingness to look at that and really draw some good boundaries and to not take it personally? Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, thank you so much. So what you're saying is it's okay if I, as the sponsor, I can let people leave the food on the phone, or I should be rigid about the See How concept as it is written, 4 telephone calls a day?
Or it's up to you.
Or I should be more flexible.
It's up to you. What can you tolerate?
Well, and I would say, so it is not a slip if they do not make 4 outreach calls a day. It is not a slip according to the way it's written, and we are all sponsored according to the same guidelines. And the slip is really, really clearly defined in that sponsor's guide. It is slippery behavior, and it may eventually lead to a food slip. But if I have a sponsee and make 4 phone calls a day, I do not say you're not abstinent.
Okay. I just get really confused because it says we accept them as requirements for our recovery. So that's, and I get that all the time from sponsees, you know. So I'm just curious. Thank you for going into that for me.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. Tammy or Karen or anything? Any other comments or shares?
This is Tanya from London.
Oh, hi.
I have a question regarding the fat, like 1 teaspoon of fat. What is considered 1 teaspoon of fat? Like oil and butter, or could it be a teaspoon of dressing? Did I say teaspoon?
It's in our Forever Abstinence food plan, so it will be in there, and it's under optional. But, boy, in the old days when I started, it was not optional. You had it every meal because it's good for you. Makes your hair and nails strong. But anyway, and it helps slow down digestion because fats don't. I'm going through my food plan here trying to find it. Darn it. I'm not doing it fast enough.
Okay, I can read it. I have the stuff.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. And a teaspoon is a teaspoon, you know, and that's it. It's oil, margarine, or butter. That's what we were taught. And when you get into maintenance, there's different variety, but it's still a measurement. You know, it's not a free-for-all. We're a weighed and measured program and committed. So,
thank you.
Yeah,
I want to come in on that one, too, because it is very clearly written in our food plan on the first 30 days what are available and at what amount. So a teaspoon of fat on the first and second 30-day plan is a teaspoon of butter, a teaspoon of oil, and then when you're allowed a second fat at dinner time, that is up to 2 tablespoons of dressing. So it depends on what food plan, I guess, was my point going off of. Once you get into maintenance, there are other fats. But that teaspoon of fat refers to oil and butter.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. For the dinner, it says 2 tablespoons of dressing. Now, can mayonnaise, this is my last question, can mayonnaise be considered dressing?
I don't know. I just think of dressing as a bottle of dressing with sugar listed 5th or lower. I never got into mayonnaise. Actually, my sponsor says if it's not listed, when in doubt, leave it out. And that's pretty much what the food plan says. If you don't see it listed.
I agree with that because even when you get into mayonnaise, you do not get 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise. The fat serving is 1 tablespoon of mayonnaise as a fat. And because that's clearly in maintenance, I would say that dressings do have mayonnaise as an ingredient, but you would never want to make all 2 tablespoons your mayonnaise.
Hi, this is Mary Beth. I have another question or comment.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi. I just want to thank you all for your sharing. My experience of before I really got into strong CA How recovery was that I was connected to another food 12-step group, and I slipped every other day or every week, or it just depended on, you know, my time frame. But one of the things that I encountered was kind of an attempt not to be punitive and not to be shaming. I got a lot of, it's no big deal. It's okay. Mm. It's no big deal. And I agree that we should not be shaming our sponsees or contributing to that shame. But I got to the point of it is a big deal. This is serious business. Not that someone shouldn't have compassion for other people who slip, but I really have a hard time with kind of an attitude of just, well, it's no big deal, it's okay, we just, you know, start again and everything's fine. And when really this can kill them, and this is a step toward to keep it going into the disease. So I just wondered how do you handle that, you know, taking this as this is serious and but not shaming.
Okay.
Hi, it's Tammy. And like I said, I have a heart of compassion when people slip, and I don't think of it as it's no big deal. Like I said, I can see what the compulsive eating leading me in diseases. Like I said, I have the high blood pressure. I take high blood pressure medication. I've seen it gradually lead to other sicknesses and diseases in my family. So, yes, I know it's very important, but I say I had a heart of compassion because I don't want that person to feel like, oh, I'm punished and I failed at another thing. Just forget about it. I'm leaving it. You know, it is a big deal, and I'm willing to help you through it. You don't have to leave the program just because you slip. We'll work through this. You know, and then we go to the different steps. So, you know, by my saying I have a heart of compassion or saying I'm willing to work with you, it's not that I'm saying it's not a big deal. I know it is a big deal, and I know you've already beaten yourself up enough over it, because even before you called me, you were putting yourself down or beating yourself up about it. And now that you've let me know that you slipped, let's work through this. Let's work through it. Okay.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I think it's an attitude from the sponsor. And I think lots of times how tends to be a lot of women, and we get a little bit nicey-nicey, and I don't really want to call it like codependent or whatever, but we tend to be trying to be kind, and it comes out a little bit lenient, you know, like signing off. And it's finding that road, and it talks about it in program, you know, that whether it's the broad highway or the road narrows, you know. And so to see the extremes of either no big deal or coming down on someone hard. But to truly take our recovery seriously with compassion, I think that's the road we're looking at here. Seriously and compassionately. And, yeah, I take it real seriously. We're working with a death-defying disease here. I take it very seriously, and I don't write it off. I'm like, that's why I like to go to work on the slip. It's like I don't let it literally slip by or out from under the scope, you know, of my observation. I go after it with a club, and, we chase it down. So, yeah, we mean business. Anyone else?
Yeah, hi, this is Tanya from London.
Yeah.
Right.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Sorry, my name's Tanya. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi. I was really interested in, I think it was Lois and Karen, you were talking about sort of working on the character defects, because I have, I've just recently gotten my 30 days, which is just a miracle, because I come from, in another program, but I come from repeated relapse, and I know that one of the things that has really consistently got me into trouble is just getting into a real angry, resentful place. And at times, you know, just praying for the person. I need to do something that is as prescriptive as doing a step 10. And working on the resentment, because I find that it helps me get to the root of something and uncover it.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. So I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more, or just tell me where I can get the information. I know Lois mentioned getting it from Cheryl, but I'm in London and I don't know who you all are.
Okay. Email me and I'll get it to you. We exchanged emails there earlier. It's Lois.
Yeah.
I'll copy one over to you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so
and
much.
I'll explain it too. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you all of you for what you've shared. It's been really helpful.
Okay.
Can you share your email?
Sure. It's Tanya. It's T-A-N-Y-A. And then Kianale. It's C-H-I-A. nale@gmail.com, and I'm in London.
So cool.
Could I have Lois's phone number again? I didn't get it earlier.
Okay, it's 818-768-5693.
Okay, and Tammy's phone number?
Area code 818-347-5528.
Mm-hmm. Also, Lois, what's your email for the character inventory?
Okay, my email address is Lois, L-O-I-S, Langford, L-A-N-G-F-O-R-D, underscore art, A-R-T, @yahoo.com.
This is Karen. In response to the previous question about, you know, the resentment, we can always go back to our four-step inventory. We have a certain way of doing it and how, and we do that very thorough inventory, and that can be our first inventory, but we don't finish there. We can always go back, and when we have other resentments, to go right to the big book and go to the four-column inventory with our sponsors, and really, just write down any resentments, any fears, any really any problems that we're having with anyone or anything, and get to the bottom of what the character defects, what is threatened. In those relationships, in those interactions. We can do an inventory just on our food using the four-column inventory, too. And it just is, we never get done with the process. And so we can go back as many times as we need to and uncover what's behind those character defects. You know, what character defects underlie those resentment, fears, difficulties in relationships that we're having.
Exactly. I was going to say that. This is Lois. I was going to pipe in about the columns because I'm real big on the columns.
Yeah, it's so easy to get to the underlying character defect. It makes it a lot easier to use those columns.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Fran, and I'd like to share.
Sure. Hi, Fran.
Hi. I have the commandments of sponsoring that I did at a retreat in Santa Barbara. But can I read a few?
Okay. I guess. Okay.
I have the only requirement of C.A. Howe is a desire to stop eating compulsively and a let go, let God. God's will, seek God's will because God wants your true good. Prayer can be an answer. And one day at a time, work through the past. Don't live in it. Help mend the brokenhearted, and God will do the rest. Sponsoring takes three: the sponsor, the sponsoree, and the and finally, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And I think that's programmed to me. Thanks for letting me share, and thanks, amazing to hear everybody that shared. Thank you very much.
Can you guys hear me?
Who's this?
It's Rosalie.
Oh, hi, Rosalie. Yes.
Hi, I just have a comment. I have 4 years now, and I've been on the program for 11, and I did a lot of slipping. And I think, speaking from my own personal experience, you know, the whole point of if you make it through the first 30 days, and I did, because I had almost a couple of years, and then I had another year, and then the trouble started. And it's about ego reduction. That's the ceremony is about ego reduction. But people who think that that ego is not going to jump in all the time and try to sabotage their program, you know, that is the problem. It's not paying attention. To listen to the ego sabotage, and part of it is to build up turmoil in your mind. This is wrong, and that is wrong, and this is not happening, and to get you to a point of discontentment and frustration so that you're going to say the hell with it. And, you know, that would happen, you know, time and time again until I started seeing the pattern in my head. You know, and at that time that that's happening, so long as that ego thinks that it's that you're sitting on the fence, and that you can either jump into abstinence or program, and you know, or you know, off abstinence. There was a long period of years where my ego was sitting on the fence, and it would just come down and take over me. So I thought, until I realized, you know, it took years of realizing that this sabotage is just going to go on until, you know, I reached a certain point of my recovery. But when you know, but so long as that ego thinks that you are on the fence, it and that it can take over, it will. And what I did was to do the commitment like Tammy recommended. Say my, you know, do something in the morning when I get up before every meal. When every time there is a thought of food, every time I feel that setup of discontent or negative thinking coming in, that's when I have to work my program. You know, whether I do the four phone calls, you know, every day, I knew I was one of these people that was constitutionally incapable of being honest, but it says your chances are less than average. During that time, I felt that way. And less than average doesn't mean you have a way out. So long as that ego thinks, well, maybe there's a chance, I really don't have to work this program, at least for me, it's gaining ground. And so that is my suggestion, is just to acknowledge this, that this is going to happen. And we have, when we start getting into the process, you know, me, start getting into the process where a series of things go wrong, it's taken me years to get to the point where I'm willing to go through all that drama and feel those feelings and deal with them right this minute so that I cannot eat. And so those are my suggestions. Thank you. And this is Sandy.
Hi.
All right.
This is Teresa. I have a question.
I've got a quick question.
I have a question.
Go for it.
This is Teresa.
Hi, go for it.
Okay. I didn't hear you all really speak to meetings and, like, the primacy of getting to as many, especially if you're feeling woozy or shaky or slippery. And I also just want to comment that I don't believe I'd have 1 minute of abstinence if I didn't do step work, especially steps 1 through 3 every day, and then hop up to 7 and back to 10. And so what's y'all think about meetings?
Very, very good workshop.
Yeah, well, the meetings, I know, well, it says 3, minimum of 3, and if you want to, they say stick with the winners and win with the stickers, and you'll find people who have long-term abstinence go to a lot of meetings. You know, if you want what they have, you'll do what they do. And our minimum is 3, and you got phone bridge all the time. So, yeah, sponsor, I tell people if they don't go to meetings, I'm not your diet buddy. You've got to be doing the program here. And there's, you know, reading, writing, meetings, outreach calls. It's a full package. I'm not your and I won't just be a diet buddy, but that's my standard. So, and I won't sponsor someone who's not doing the program. So,
Lois?
Hi. Hello. Yes, this is Hugh. Can you hear me?
It's Sandy.
Hi. Can you hear Q? Hello.
Hi. I just want to know if someone else wanted to comment, one of the other speakers, on commenting on meetings or anything.
Hi, this is Q.
This
Hello.
Is Tadami. I do want to comment on...
Tadami just commented on that last one. Okay. Go for it, Tadami.
I just wanted to say, yes, meetings are crucial, and I want to say that phone bridge can be a lifesaver. I know there are people in program who have to get to live meetings all the time, and of course, I love my live meetings. I have a family that is in a state where live meetings are very, very difficult to get to, and I absolutely participate in phone bridge meetings when I go out of town or, you know, when it's impossible for me, like when I'm sick and can't leave the house. But, yes, absolutely, having that reinforcement is crucial to my recovery. I also wanted to speak to the columns that we were talking about earlier. The columns in the book, in the big book, are on page 65, and in how I have been sponsored, we've added a column to that process that makes me look at my part. And in my recovery, that has been so beneficial, looking at my part in whatever I'm resentful at or whatever the situation was or whatever the relationship issue is. So adding that column to that process is really important. And the other thing I wanted to is that excuse me. We really can't do this alone. We really all need each other, and we all need these tools and steps and traditions. One thing that was holding me back when I was slipping was that I saw the tools and the questions as a chore and as something that I just wanted to hurry up and check off of my list that it was. And I think Karen spoke to, like, the inventory is not anything we're ever done with. Yes, we may have finished that last question and given it to our sponsor and burned it or whatever, but it's a continual process. And when I had a paradigm shift of looking at all of these directions and tools and questions and suggestions as something that I could use and that helped me rather than seeing them as chores, it opened up my recovery tenfold. So when I'm asked to write every day and I want to say, I don't have time for that, I'm very busy, I have 2 children, I have work, la, 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 I can come up with every rationalization why I don't have enough time to do what I am directed to do. And luckily, you know, I've learned in program through my sponsors things like, I understand you're busy, I bet you can find 5 minutes to do your writing. For me, I'm an all-or-nothing person. So if I want to answer a question, I think I have to write a novel. And there's no way I can do that in 5 minutes. It's not about perfection in this program. It's about progress. But it's also about setting up new behaviors. So if I can write 5 minutes a day, when I really, really am in a bad situation or a slippery situation, I am much more apt to use that writing tool if I've been doing my 5 minutes a day consistently. If I've been making my outreach calls every day, I'm much more likely to pick that phone in a crisis and reach out for help or get out of myself and help somebody else through an outreach call. So saying, well, you know, the requirements of this program are 4 phone calls a day. Yes, it is written that way, that for our recovery, these are requirements, not suggestions. But they're also marvelous benefits that enable us to turn to that as a coping mechanism when things are really difficult, rather than turning to the food as a coping mechanism. And thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you. Thank you. I believe,
right.
Thank you. Andy, if there's one more question we can take, and we're going to have to wrap it up. We're almost at 2 hours. Okay? Sandy, did you have one?
Well, I have a comment.
Yes.
For me, because one of my character defects is anger, which I appreciate you mentioning today, a lot about character defects. I have to keep paper with me all day long.
Mm.
Before I make a phone call, I have to write. And sometimes then I call my sponsor or I'll call somebody else. But because I feel if I call somebody, I'm just dumping. But if I actually write down how I feel at that moment, and this is, you know, I've had 22 years in this program, and I have 4 years of abstinence, and I have been a chronic slipper. But the paper and pen has been my source of relief. And so for me, I recommend that everybody write down whenever the incident happens and not let it eat away at you until your time, you know, some people write in the morning, some people write at night. But I write all day long when something happens, and I'm passing the phone to Shelley really fast.
Okay, real fast, because we're going to have to wrap it up, honey.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Lois. Thank you for this. The other thing that I have, I came into these rooms in 1987, and I was a hardcore bulimic, as the people here that know me. And when I first came into program, I have now 5 years and almost 6 months of recommitted abstinence. And what I've had to do, I remember, I carry either my big book or my meditation book around with me, because, and especially like when I was really new, as an extra tool, because throwing up on paper is good, but you know, I would be so scared that, you know, every breath I took, you know, if I couldn't, because I had to relearn new behaviors, because for me it was just like doing a whole different life. I would open up that book and I would read it, and it would tell me exactly what I needed to hear. So I just wanted to throw that out there as another tool for recovery. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Hey, Shelley, as long as you're there, you got your big book handy? We're going to have to give the meeting a wrap now. We're at 2 hours, and we're going to have to open it up for this Sunday morning to have this channel, for the conference call. So we're going to if you haven't had a chance to pitch or talk, please make an outreach call to any one of us or, you know, someone, and talk to people, reason things out, you know, and keep in touch. This is fabulous. I just want to thank everybody, our speakers, our panel, and everyone who's participated, shared. Shelley, would you read the promises out of the big book?
Absolutely. What page is it on, Lois?
Promises should be, in the 80s.
Okay, let's see. Hold on. We have a printout here. Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Go for it.
Thank you very much. Promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in our selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They're being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. There's a little housekeeping thing I didn't do, and it was the seventh tradition, and, you know, we don't do dues or fees, but if you'd like to make a contribution, the money goes to support the phone bridge meetings, and you would just, number one, the contribution to the World Service Intergroup in Areas, and number two, it supports sending our delegates to the World Service Conference each year, and it's a vital part of the phone bridge meetings as well to be represented at the conference. So if you wish to send a donation, it'll be very thankful for, you would do CEA Hal Phone Bridge Meetings, and that's P.O. Box 3031, Claiborne, Texas. That's C-L-E-B-U-R-N-E, Texas. And the zip code is 76033. So thank you for that ahead of time. Anything, thank you for your generosity. And I just want to say I wish to thank all those who participated in this workshop today. Please remember our cherished tradition of anonymity, of what you see here. Well, anyway, imagine here who you hear here when you leave here, and we'll let it stay here. The requirements, the CEA HAL concept of what this particular group has found to be effective in working this program. The opinions expressed here today by those that shared are our own and not necessarily those of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HAL as a whole. Thank you for allowing me to be the facilitator. It's been a great honor and a privilege. And after a moment,
this is Mary.
Hey, Mary,
can I add something to the seventh tradition announcement?
Yes,
that
please.
If we were going to a workshop face-to-face, we would be contributing a donation, so it would be really good if all of us who participated today could send in a donation for the workshop. Thank you.
It would really. Thank you so much, Mary Beth. Thank you for putting that in. Also, after a moment of quiet meditation, will all of you who wish to please join me in the Serenity Prayer?
Can we get this replayed on the internet or on the phone?
It's going to be, it is being recorded, so you'll get it. Yes.
What? How do we do that? I didn't hear anybody tell us how to do that. What number to dial?
This is Cheryl. I'll give you those instructions right after the Serenity Prayer.
Thank you.
Okay. So everyone.
I grant the serenity.
Amen. Keep coming back, everybody. It works if you work it. Love and don't have food. You're all worth it. Thank you. Thank you. Have a terrific
day. Thank you, Lois. All the panel members.
Thank you, Lois. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Can you go to Cheryl?
If you'd like to hear this played back, if you'd like to hear a recording, here's the number. Write it down. The playback number is 712-432-1284, same access code, 152077, and you will hear instructions, and you probably can do that within a half an hour or so. Okay?
Okay, fantastic.
So much. Thank you.
Cheryl, can that be downloaded?
Yes.
What's that number again?
Yes, repeat it, please.
712-432-1284.
How long will that be on there?
It will be on for quite a while, actually, until we use it again. And I don't know when we're going to use it again. Maybe I have no idea, actually.
All right, thanks, Cheryl.
For a while,
thank you.
Yes,
bye now.
Carol, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that number real quick for accessing
sure.
the supportive network?
712-432-1284.
And then the code that you use?
The MAC code.
Say MAC code.
Yes. 152077.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.